The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guests, the Graveltones, who will debut two brand new songs on the show. Also, I'll be talking the top movies at the box office and Meatloaf. All this and more on Revelator. All right, all right. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Revelator. My name is Ryan, and I want you to do one thing.
Just sit back and enjoy the show.
That's right. It's going to be a great show tonight, and I regret to inform everyone that Holly Randall, the photographer for Playboy Plus, is not going to be able to join us tonight due to just conditions beyond her control. But we did speak with Holly. She, sad that she's not going to be able to make it on, but she will be making an appearance on Revelator here in the next couple weeks. So definitely stick around for that. She's a really great photographer, and you haven't seen her work. It's really good. I mean, she's got a great job, guys. I'll tell you right now. Taking pictures of some of the most gorgeous women on the planet. So really happy to have Holly on here in a couple weeks. Should be very, very fun. But we also have one of my new favorite bands is the Graveltones. Jimmy and Mikey from the Graveltones will be stopping in here and playing two brand new tracks off the forthcoming album. It's going to be fun. You definitely want to stick around for that. But right now I want to talk some movies. The top movies at the box office this week, starting with number 10, working our way up to number 1. That is Jurassic Park 3D at $2.3 million. A Place Beyond the Pines at $2.7 million. Olympus Has Fallen at $2.8 million. Scary Movie 5. I'm holding out for Scary Movie 8. I really am. $3.4 million. G.I. Joe Retaliation, $3.7 million in its 5 weeks at the box office, has raked in $116 million. The Croods at $6.7 million. 6 weeks at the box office, $163 million. The Big Wedding opening up at $7.5 million. The movie 42 at $10.6 million in its 3 weeks, grossing near $70 million. The movie Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise, in its 2 weeks, has raked in $65 million. This past weekend it made $17.8 million. And number one at the box office this weekend, Pain and Gain, also starring The Rock, opening weekend at $20 million. So The Rock, in 6 weeks of movies at the box office, he's got two films in the top 10, this guy, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, raking in almost $140 million, not including what he's probably going to make for Fast and Furious 6 and the movie Snitch that we did a review on about a couple months ago, I think, made close to $100 million as well. You want to talk about owning the box office in the year 2013. Unbelievable. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Those are your top movies here. And big movies coming out, coming very, very soon. You know, Iron Man 3, the Star Trek movie coming out very soon as well. So the summer concert or summer movie series is getting ready and winding up fast. And I tell you what, the Iron Man 3 looks really, really good. And you have, the bad guy as Mandarin. So if you're a big comic book person, you're really into Iron Man, you definitely want to check that out as Ben Kingsley playing Mandarin. It doesn't get much better than that. And last week we talked about Meatloaf. You're like, what? Meatloaf? I'm like, yeah, Meatloaf. But, Mom, the Meatloaf! he was having some struggles touring. And this just gets a little stranger, man. This really does. Meatloaf says he never drank his own urine. Well, that's good to know. I guess most people don't drink their own urine, right? And, if you do drink your own urine, I'm not going to judge you. No judgment will be passed here, but I worry about you, that you're drinking your own urine. I do. I'm worried that Meatloaf is drinking urine. Or a urine concoction that came from an allergy specialist. It's not just pee in a bottle. It's mixed with other things as well, he says. Well, I would do anything for love, but I won't drink piss. No, I won't drink piss. That's not how that song goes, but apparently Meatloaf will drink piss. Meatloaf will drink piss. Not his own piss. Somebody else's piss, I guess, or a concoction of some piss. And the reason he's been doing it is because he's, working on his struggling vocal cords. So maybe that's what I should do. Now, my voice is a little scratchy here. I guess I probably should have pissed in a bottle, you know, maybe chilled it in the freezer for a little bit, mixed it with some vitamins and some allergy medicine and downed it. Maybe my voice wouldn't be so scratchy tonight. Maybe, right? And looking at the NBA, I tell you what, the Miami Heat, unbelievable. LeBron James, I don't see anybody beating that team. And the rest of the East is just kind of fiddling through their series. The Knicks had a chance to close out Boston, did not. I expect them they will close out Boston here this week at Madison Square Garden. And you look at the Western Conference, Russell Westbrook is out for the Oklahoma City Thunder for the remainder of the playoffs. Big loss for them at the point guard position. I think they're obviously going to beat the Rockets in that series in advance, but for them to win a title without him, it's going to be very, very tough. Kevin Durant is going to have to be Superman plus to get through the Western Conference one and more than likely beat the Miami Heat in the finals. But you look a team that I'm disappointed in, that I spoke high on them all year, is the Denver Nuggets. They've lost a couple games in a row now to the Golden State Warriors. You want to talk about absolutely fun to watch. The Golden State Warriors, Mark Jackson has got that team playing very, very good basketball. Klay Thompson, second-year player, and Stephon Curry. Unbelievable. The fact that he was not admitted to the All-Star game this year is a travesty. They need to take fan voting out of it. They really do. He's been unbelievable, man. I mean, like video game-like. Unbelievable. And this Golden State team, a really, really young basketball team, and they are heading in the right direction. The Denver team, I think they just don't have enough scoring options. I think what it comes down to, and not having Gallinari as that scoring option is going to hurt them. And then you have the Lakers. They're out of the playoffs. Sweeper, baby. Get your brooms out, L.A. Doesn't happen very often. Lakers don't get swept very often. Not only do you get swept, the worst home loss ever in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers the other night, they got beat by 31 points. Well, they just got beat. They got hammered by the San Antonio Spurs, who look the part. And I think San Antonio looks at that injury in Westbrook at Oklahoma City, and the door is open. And then you have the Clippers in Memphis. That's just a knockdown dragout. It's been a great series to watch, much like the Denver Golden State series has been fun to watch as well. And it'd be interesting to see how those teams progress into the second round of the playoffs. But I think it's going to be San Antonio and Miami at this point. I'm changing. Obviously, I'm jumping off the Denver bandwagon. I've been on them for months after watching them play. I'm jumping off the bandwagon. I am no longer a Nugget fan. I'm not on that parcel. So George Karl, great coach, great guy, nice young ball club. I think they just peaked too early in the season, kind of running out of steam at the end. And Mark Jackson has got his guys doing the exact opposite of that. So that's a quick snap here on the NBA playoffs, Meatloaf drinking piss, and your top movies. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, now the moment you've been waiting for, coming to the Revelator Show at this time, hailing from London like a punch in one's face, Mikey, Jimmy, the Gravel Tones.
Yeah.
Jimmy, Mikey, how you guys doing, man?
Yeah, doing well, man. I'm just trying to figure out who's the red corner and who's the blue corner.
Yeah, we can settle that afterwards. You know, we can we get Miles Lane in here, and we'll do maybe a three rounder or something. You know,
three rounds sounds good. Jimmy won't last that long.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'd be winded after about a round and a half. I'm like, you know what, you win, man. I'm done. You know.
Yeah, I'm done. Good. That's easy. But
well, you guys are in this kick-ass band called the Gravel Tones, man. I got to ask, listen to you guys' music and, you know, discovered you guys a little while back. And, man, I really dig what you guys are doing. I really do. And I got to ask, man, what are some of you – I have an idea what your musical interests are. I just want to hear it from you guys. What are some of your musical interests, early in life, and what are some of your current interests musically?
Yeah. Well, I mean, personally, I started off with, like, just rock and roll, like Rage Against the Machine and bands like that when I was like early teens, and then then obviously got into a lot of Rolling Stones and the Beatles and things like that. Then started to go sort of Bob Dylan way. I discovered Bob Dylan when I was like 14, 15, and it just sort of changed my perspective on music and how you would play the guitar. And I went and swapped my electric guitar for an acoustic guitar, and then just started sort of writing songs. So from then, I was listening to a lot of Beach Boys and a lot of Beatles, a lot of Dylan, a lot of songwriting sort of music. And then that's still to this day what I sort of mainly listen to. And Tom Waits and Nick Cave and those kind of guys is what I'm really into. So,
yeah.
And Mikey comes from a bit of a hip hop background as well.
Yeah,
as,
well, I started off when I first started playing music. My genre was acid jazz and fusion and stuff like that. But then, like, I turned like 14, 15, and I was like, "Hell, I'm gonna rock some shell toes and pull my pants down past my ass, spike my hair up, and listen to Deftones." So I got heavily into nu metal as a teen. But then, like, coming out of that, I really, really got interested in songwriters like Fiona Apple and Tori Amos. I started following some of my favorite drummers, Matt Chamberlain, who did both of those artists, and just kind of explored music differently, you know. Started playing hip-hop, started doing, you know, Latin stuff. It just, you know, really branching out. Blues was something I always hated as a young guy, but blues was something kind of crept up on me and kind of like really, really started meaning a lot to me as I got older. So blues to me now, I think, I don't know, something is something that's felt. You can't teach it. That whole swing feel.
That's what our common thread is, really, is that we both, like, I'm really into a lot of the old blues stuff, like the John Lee Hookers and Robert Johnsons and things like that, and I think that's where our common thread lies. I mean, we're both huge fans of Zeppelin as well, and that's where we, you know, and things like Queen as well, that is, you know, that we've got super heavy riffs that people don't think they're like a heavy band, but you take the riff, I mean, they're epic, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a huge, you know, obviously a pretty wide stroke there. And I think, you know, when people hear the music, they're going to, you know, hear a lot of those. Now, you mentioned Tom Waits. I'm a huge Tom Waits fan. And blues, yeah. It's interesting you mentioned blues because I was kind of the same way about blues. You know, early on, I was like, I appreciated it, of course, but I never really, I guess maybe I didn't understand it as a younger person. Now that I've gotten a little older, you know, you go back and listen to some of those albums like John Lee Hooker and, you know, those songs, you know, B.B. King, the list goes on and on, you know, and you go, man, you know, there's just something soulful and impactful about a lot of that music, and I could definitely hear you guys have translated that in your own style, you know, and obviously with the new metal stuff, and, you know, Deftones I'm a huge fan of as well, so, you know, that, you know, kind of that big sticky pot, you know, so I dig that, man.
Cool. Big, dirty, melting pot. Very dirty.
Now, I'm curious about how you guys, you know, I know in your bio it says you guys kind of met by chance. I mean, talk to me about, you know, that first meeting and those first conversations and coming up with the band and, you know, and also the band name. How did this all kind of come to be?
Well, I had an idea of what I wanted to do with the songs that I was writing at that time. And I'd move over to London from Australia, and I had this idea about putting something together, and I was trying to do a few different things with a few different people, and wasn't sort of working out. So I had this idea, and I was like, "Man, I need a band name." And literally, the band name just came out of just me just sitting down one day, going, "I need to think of a band name." And then I thought of like four or five band names, and that was one of the ones on the list. And every time I kept going back to those five band names, that was the one that stood out the most. And I was just,
do you remember any of the other ones? Were they like,
there was the
Smurf tones?
Yeah. I think that was the only tones on there, but
the jerk tones.
The slick tones. I did have a band name on there. It was the Turpentines.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. I think that one, cause obviously
side project.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But
keep an eye out for the Turpentines.
Turpentines.
In your nearest city. You'll hear it.
Cleaning things.
Yeah.
Stripping paint off everywhere they go.
Yeah.
I always thought a cool band name would be the Sons of Gargamel. I think that would be a cool band name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's epic, man.
Gargamel. Man, I feel sorry for that woman. Yeah. Sons of Gargamel. Oh, man. Yeah, hopefully that cat didn't get... What was it? That was the cat's name? Anyway. Gargamel's cat. Yeah. If anybody knows Gargamel's cat's name, could you please email it to the Gravel Tones?
I think it's... Is it Azrael? I think it's Azrael.
Yeah, it is Azrael. Yeah. Azrael, the email thing. Yeah.
Smurfs 101 here on Revelator tonight with Jimmy Mikey from the Gravel Tones. But, well, I know, you know, man, people rave about your guys' live shows, and I know you've been playing a bunch of live shows with Rival Sun, a band on the West Coast here in the States, another great band. It's had to be some great shows playing with those guys. Talk to me about, you know, your live show, man. What can people expect when they see you guys live, man?
We just get up there and have fun and make a bunch of noise. I think that's what, yeah. That's always just been the – we've never really planned it out or thought about a live show or what we were going to do on stage. We sort of just got together and
just kind of looked at each other and just said, let's just go nuts, like, right now. And, you know, the big thing is, like, we don't care what's going to happen next, you know. Like, we've had – you know, when we hit the stage, it is like – it is all about that moment, then and there. I'm not going to stop until something breaks, and hopefully nothing does. And same with Jimmy. It's like you're in that moment, and the sweetest thing you can do is give everything at that point. Mm. Even the point we've had stuff break, and then, you know, when something breaks, it just makes the whole thing cooler. We've had like one girl get really annoyed with us for some reason. Do you remember that? She threw a mic stand at my drum kit, like knocking guitars ran in. It's like started knocking my gear over. It's just incredible. Like, and all you could do was laugh because that was so much. That was rock and roll.
That was rock and roll.
I just kept playing. I was like, just keep knocking shit over. I'm just gonna keep playing.
We had like a little bit of an altercation with the band.
It's quite hilarious.
Backstage, and they got furious at us, and we were playing, and they were like throwing mics at us. And the funny thing was, we just kept playing, and everybody thought it was a part of the show. And like, people were coming up after us, going, "Who were those guys? Like, did you guys pay those guys to come up and break shit?" And we were like, "No, man, it was, you know."
Yeah. Do you remember?
I forgot about that.
I don't think I've ever heard of something like that happening. At a live show, like, what were they? Do you know what they were even mad about at all? Like,
oh, it was basically a promoter in London had booked a bunch of bands, and they had told us that we were the headline, and then they were the headline, and we kind of said to them, "That's cool. We don't mind whoever goes on first. It doesn't really bother us." But then, like. We had some industry and things coming down that night, so we were like, "Oh, can we push it back a little bit if we're not, because this is what we're supposed." And the promoter sort of came down and said, "Like, yeah, no, the Gravel Tones are going on last because that's how we've booked it," and it just got a little bit confusing. And then I think the drummer sort of came up to us and he said something to Mikey, and it kind of was like almost like, "Do what we say," or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
It was we kind of
we kind of looked at each other and just laughed and were like,
who are you guys again?
Like, we're trying to be nice
they're
here.
Like, trying to like, so, yeah. Yeah, Tony Soprano over us.
Yeah, so we just kind of went, well, nah, man, screw you guys. Then we're just going to stick how it
was.
Yeah, because
they're all using all
our
gear anyway, right?
So, yeah, well,
anyway.
But that's, yeah.
It ended up with them on the stairwell on the way out of the venue, like turning around yelling at us, "Well, you guys suck anyway." Yeah. And like, some girl in the audience like turned around and says, "Shut up and get out of here."
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. That was a great night.
That was the only time this has ever happened to us. Don't get the wrong impression that we're angry band. Please.
They're like, "We're mad. You're going to do what we say." That's hilarious, man. Oh, that's a great story, man. I appreciate you guys sharing that with us tonight. You know what? Again, changing gears on you here. You guys have a new album that, you know, it's set to come out. We're going to debut some new tracks off that album. And best of my knowledge, a lot of these tracks, or at least the two tracks that we're going to play, haven't really been heard, which is really cool. And I'm excited you guys have given us this opportunity. And the first track tonight is Dying on Your Feet, which, you know, when I first heard the song, it's rock and roll. It's best, man. I mean, when I heard this song, I was like, this track is infectious. You can't hear it enough. The only problem with this song is that it's not longer. You know, like that. I mean, seriously. I mean, kind of. You know, Mikey, your drums kind of have that Bonham Zeppelin feel to it. Talk to me about this track in writing it and recording it, man.
Oh, this is, you know, like some people say, like it's like trying to draw blood from a stone. And when it comes to songwriting, this is the complete opposite.
This song just wrote itself.
This song, really, like, really, me or Jimmy really never ever thought about our parts for this song. It's one of those songs where you're just like, "Oh my God, that just happened." You just finish. Like, the first time we played it almost exactly from top. This is the way it is. Like, we've added a couple of things, like a crazy splurge thing in the middle of just whatever. But it just Jimmy started playing this little thing on the guitar, and the next thing I was like, oh yeah, and I got this drum beat, and it just kind of just went in like a.
We just started playing, and then by the end of the, like, and 5 minutes later, the song was sort of done, and then it was a few things that, like, would rush because we were booked to go in the studio, and we had two songs that we were going to do, and then literally a couple of days before, we were in the rehearsal room, and we wrote this song, and we were like, man, we should just record this one.
Yeah.
It was strange. We were banging in the studio. We recorded one of the tracks, and this one, I was still finishing lyrics while we were in the studio, so some of those lyrics that were written on the song were done like 10 minutes before it was actually recorded. So it was kind of like capturing that thing that just came out of nowhere. And then next thing you know, it's recorded and it was a take, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. No, obviously a great moment in time there, just putting this together as fast as you did. Tell you what, man, let's take a break. Let's actually jam the song. This is debut of Dying on Your Feet here on Revelator with the Gravel Tones.
Talking like old friends. Oh, we're going to get along. No need to pretend, just to tell it like you want it told. Talking like old friends, honey, we're gonna get along. No need to pretend, just to tell it like you want it told. Hanging on loose ends, well, everybody got a cross to bear. You wanna plead for your sins, well, don't be living on a nightly prayer. Begging no more, don't want your bad luck to spill on me. I'm kinda too dumb, thinking at the mercy of man, and you rain a damn spell on me. I got the right solution, put a man's mind at ease. Who better died on your feet than a living on your knees?
That is the Gravel Tones with Dying on Your Feet, brand new track from those guys, and we're hanging out with Jimmy and Mikey from the band Gravel Tones. Tell you what, man, great track, man. Like I said, it's infectious, man. I really dig the track. Now, you guys, you know, obviously working on this new album, you're also on PledgeMusic.com where fans can support your efforts and what you guys are into and what you're doing. You know, how awesome is it? And I mean, I imagine humbling too to hear and interact with your fans, man.
Awesome. I think that's been the sweetest part about the whole the pledge thing is like we kind of knew that you know being poor musicians as we are, you know, like that the whole idea of pledge would be amazing, but then getting the whole other side to it where you're like you're meeting more of your fans and you're meeting people that you didn't even know knew about your music, and they're there, they send you like little messages. And these people like reaching into their pocket, man, and helping us out. Some people are gifted some money to us. That's like really been, it's quite humbling, you know, where you're like, oh my God, these people, they really believe in us. It's like a very, like, it's kind of surreal, you know, like it's when you're playing music and then you have people that you don't even really know believe in you and in you enough to say, hey, here's a little bit extra just to kind of let's do this, let's make it happen. So
for me, it was kind of this thing when we first discussed pledge with our management, they sort of recommended we do it, and I had this idea in my head where I was like, no, nah, man, we're not going to do pledge, because like I always thought like pledge, I'd heard about pledge and I didn't really know a lot about it, and I was kind of like, man, we're not going to beg our fans for money, like come on, that's not cool. So I had this thing, and I originally said no, we're not going to do it, and then we discussed it a little bit more, and I was talking to a guy, and he kind of said, well, all it is, man, in the most simplest terms, is people, your fans pre-ordering the album. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, I get it now, you know? It's like, it's not fans donating money to you, or it's not us begging people for money.
It's not feeding my
habits. Like, it's basically, it's like,
I don't have any habits.
It's basically just like, we're going to make an album instead of selling it after we've recorded it. We're going to pre-sell it before we record it. And in the most simpler terms, that's really what it is. And people that want the T-shirts and the posters and the bits that can be, you know, the things that make it a little bit more personal.
The rad T-shirts.
The more personal touches, like we got a thing on there where you can hang out with in the studio with us for a day and you can get, you know, backstage tickets to one of our gigs. And I think that there's people, you know, have pledged for that sort of stuff, and it really is humbling, you know, the fact that they want to give us that little extra and take that little bit more away. It's a great thing. But I think the whole process is, and we were really surprised with how quickly we've gotten, you know, we're not almost at 60%.
We're at 54%.
And we're only like not even 2 weeks into 50, it. So it has been. It's been a big thing for us. It's really cool how it's all played out. So
yeah.
No, man, I think it's really cool to have those type of things on the internet where you can kind of – it also gives you the opportunity to meet and greet your fans too, as you said. So, I mean, it's a cool cause, and I saw that you guys – you know, people can get the album, get T-shirts and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, it's also kind of giving – it's a give and take thing, and, it's got to be – man, it's got to be really humbling to interact and meet your fans. And you guys seem like really cool guys, so I'm glad you're
–
it's really cool. You know, we're always into bands that, you know, who are interested in interacting and having a good time and are humble people. And I think you guys definitely are that. But I also want to get into, obviously, you know, you guys have talking about the new album. I'm curious about, you know, the first EP came out, almost 2 years ago now, right? So what was the difference in the writing process, or, you know, the approach this time around to doing a full album as compared to that first EP? How did your guys, you know, obviously evolve as musicians, but how did that writing process change for you guys?
Well, that we did that first EP after four rehearsals. That was like a thing for us where we're just like, boom, boom. Okay. Oh, whoa. There's a sound. Let's capture it. Quick. It's like, you know, you want to get it bottled up and like there. Before, you know, you don't want, well, things haven't got stale for us ever, but, you know, I really believe in capturing things that are raw and like in the moment. That EP was like that, very much that. We recorded that in one day. We did all our guitar parts, drum parts, a little bit of, you know, the vocals later. But this time around has been, you know, there's always the stress of your second recording, you know, where like it happens to everybody. But you put out a second thing and it sucks. And it's just like, it's just that it's all, that's always in the back of your mind. For me, it is probably not for you, but, I want to put something out there that this time that's excellent. You know, there was mistakes in the first album that I'd love to go back and fix, but I kind of like them now. But this time I really want to get capture the performances. The energy is a big thing that I want to capture more so of in the album, which I think kind of we didn't quite get in the EP. I'm still happy with the EP, but this time I think is all about energy, doing three takes max on each song. You know, living in the studio too is going to be – we're going to do a live-in vibe in the studio, so we're going to live there for the week and record it, which will be cool, out on a farm somewhere. Get to go pat sheep in between the takes. Hey, Lemmy, I'm going to go record some drums. Any wise words? Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, Lemmy.
Well, I was. My next question was, you know, what do you like about being in the studio? So I guess you kind of already answered that part of it. I mean, yeah. Is there a certain part that
studio.
You lamb the lambs? You know, do you get the shears out and you know, trim the sheep? I don't know, man. I mean,
well, Jimmy can shear sheep. So yeah.
I guess you know, we talked about knitting earlier, so I guess you could probably use some of that. You know, maybe knit a sweater or
absolutely,
you know, a
man.
Scarf.
That's our downtime
something.
In the studio. Yeah, yeah. That's how we relax.
Yeah,
we cross knit, we cross stitch.
Jimmy absolutely. Shears it. The
but back to to the EP and things. I mean, like what I was, how it feels to me is like, because that EP was kind of out of necessity as well. Like we jumped into a band, and like within like sort of a month, we'd had a couple of rehearsals, a few gigs, and then we just we went into the studio and recorded that. And it was kind of like out of necessity, because you need a product to get gigs and to book shows and things. So that was a lot of it for us. And at that time, it was kind of just a tool for us to get out there and play and to book the shows, you know. So that was an important thing. But I think now with this album is we've been together 2 years now, and we know a lot more about what we are as a band and what we're going for. And we know how we work a lot better now. So in terms of songwriting on the album, we've written like all these songs as a two-piece, and we've written them all together, and what's going to come out of it is basically a melting pot of what we've been about for the last 2 years. But we've got a better indication of where we want to go now with everything. Yeah. Like, we know what we're about. At that time, we sort of like I said, we rushed in there, and
we're still new to us.
Yeah, and our sound's changed. It's still the same, but it's evolved over the last 2 years, and I think with the amount of live shows that we do play, a lot of the reception that we get from them is going to go into this album. I think that's the key for this album, is we're capturing that live sound, and the songs are a little bit more about the live vibe.
Well, no, I can definitely hear the evolution. You know, when you know the first track we played, The Night Dying on Your Feet, and this, the next song we're going to hear right now is off that self-titled EP, which is I Want Your Love. And I like the one of the there's a lot of lines in the song I like, but early in the song it says, why don't you tell me where you keep it hid beneath the closet underneath your bed? I want your love. Tell me, girl. You know, so I mean, I want your love.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, talk to me about.
Weird, you know, it's weird when you sing it, man.
I don't. Yeah,
you're out. You're out.
Ryan, you're a new singer, man.
Yeah. No, you definitely don't want to go that direction, man. Now, you know, I Want Your Love. Obviously, you know, you guys are. This song is also going to appear in an advertisement as well, I believe, in London. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about, you know, is this song in particular wrote about anybody? As far, I mean, you know, when you're writing lyrics, is this something that you do particular, Jimmy, or is it you guys kind of collaborate on the lyrics?
I write all the lyrics.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. You're not getting much out of me.
But I don't know. I've always been into songwriting, like, and that song's actually was just released as a single. So that was something that we did sort of a year ago. So because we thought we just needed something fresh, and that song popped up. So, and then it got on a few commercials, and it's on a Rimmel thing at the moment, and a few bits and pieces. Yeah, yeah. So, but I don't think I particularly wrote it about anyone. You know, that's just what came out. You know, so
it was for me, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't want to say.
Knew it.
Yeah, it was for Mikey. Yeah.
Aw. Yo, that is definitely some serious love there, then, man.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, man, let's take a break. And I believe people can actually download this off your website as well. Is that correct? As a free download?
Yeah, this song was always about like just spreading our word. So we just kind of always kept this one a freebie, and I think that's the way we're going to keep it. So
yeah.
We're just
if you go to our website, the Gravel Tones.
Dot com.
Yeah. That's easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. And yeah, you just pop your email address in and you can download that one for free. Yeah.
Or you can hear it right now. That is, I Want Your Love, the Gravel Tones, right. Here on Revelator. I Want Your Love here on Revelator. That is the Gravel Toads hanging out with Jimmy and Mikey from the band. Guys, again, you know, as we noted, you can go download that song on your website, which is graveltones.com. And I have to ask, you know, we ask everybody this, man. And as an independent band, which you guys are, what is your take on the music industry today? I don't know what the difference, you know, if there is a difference from, you know, bands that struggle in the States to, you know, bands in the UK and Europe area where you guys do a lot of traveling and stuff and playing shows. I mean, what are some of the challenges you guys face as an independent band in the industry?
I think the main challenge is the money aspect of it, which I think is always going to be. I mean, as much as social media and all the tools that are available out there at the moment to be an independent band, which is fantastic. I mean, I love that aspect of the industry that you can do a lot of it yourself now. And you know, you can stay independent as long as you need to. But the whole thing about actually, you know, PR costs a fortune and travel expenses and organizing tours and stuff, that's a big outlay of money. And without that, you know, sometimes you just can't do the things that you want to do or you need to do as a band. So I think, I think where our plan is to stay independent as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's the plan.
But we're not opposed to the idea of obviously signing with someone as long as it's the right thing and for us at the time, and as long as it's about the band and about doing what we want to do with it. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's very much changed from the, you know, record companies aren't throwing money at people anymore. Well, obviously because they've been burnt so many times. You know, a lot of bands can't pay back their debts. We know friends of ours that have debts where they get the deal and it seems all sweet, but at the end of the day, they have to pay, you know, all that money back and some more. but if you're business minded enough, like if you want your band to succeed, it's a full time job. And then for us, like, I'm working a full time job. You know, I'm still working. I work in coffee. a roast coffee. So I'm doing that, you know, 40. I like coffee. Don't get me talking about coffee. Like? Coffee. I like coffee. But then you got your band on the side, which, you know, is, you know, 40-hour week thing too, you know, like between us, you know. So if you want to just succeed, you know, obviously your music's got to be real good. But at the end of the day, a big part of it is, you know, building your contacts, you know, working out tours that are going to be successful, getting your name to people that, you know, for one, like to the right people. Not everybody's going to like our music. We know that. But we know that there is people that do like our music.
Yeah, I mean, we were self-managed and we were a completely independent band as it stood. January this year we signed with a management company to take on a few responsibilities just because we were both working at the time and it was getting to a point where there was so many emails and so many things to do and organize that it was just a little bit overwhelming. So we signed with a management deal with the company and they're doing a lot of that now and it's working out fantastic for us and we've got a great relationship with those guys, so they're doing a fantastic job. So you know, I think we still do as much as we possibly can. I mean, yeah, the band for me is my full-time job at the moment, so I think the other thing is a lot of people don't see with bands, unless you're a musician or you're in a band yourself, is that, you know, so much time goes into writing the songs and you know, doing the social media stuff and making sure that you're finding people to do film clips for good prices and, yeah, you know, finding all those little things that you need to get. They all cost money and they all, you got to wrangle your way through and do as much as you can to, you know, for the band. It's a full-time job. It takes a lot of hours out of each day. And then, you know, we try and keep it about the music as much as we can and keep the music separate from the business. But they're both as important as each other, you know, at the end of the day. If you want to be a successful band, it's, you know, and that's what we're aiming
to
be.
It's up to you, yeah.
You know, it's up to yourself. And if you got the drive, I guess, you know, go for it.
Yeah, completely.
No, I think that's well said. I mean, you know, obviously it's not just about the music, even though it is, you know, and it's promoting, marketing, you know, having a good attitude, being positive, and doing what you guys are doing. And you guys obviously are on the right path. There's no doubt about that. Now, the new album, you know, do you guys have a working title for the new album, by the way?
We don't yet. We haven't discussed much about the new album. We're just going to let it happen.
Album.
Yeah. It's going to be called Album.
Album.
But yeah, two separate
Al-bums.
Words, like a name. Yeah. Album.
What about Al's Bum?
Al's Bum.
I was thinking tightly knit sweaters.
Might have to get that one checked over.
Yeah.
It's gonna fly. What do you think about this? Have this idea. It's gonna be amazing.
I mean, you already want me to sing, so I mean, I'll figure on the name of the album. I'll come in and do some guest spots, you know. So
yeah.
You know, I mean. But like, here's this guy we met, Ryan. He has a radio show. He can't sing for shit, but you know, we got him on the album now, so. is there a release date at all? I mean, anything you guys can give us? You know, obviously, you know, still in the process. Do you guys have set a deadline for yourselves on this? Or
I think
end of July.
Yeah, I think it's 26th or 28th. One of those two dates it'll be. If everything goes to plan.
So. Yeah, that's if everything goes to plan.
Yeah,
but you know,
but that's where we're aiming for. So.
Yeah, it's looking good for that. Obviously, you know, things can slow you down, like, you know, the production of things, but the digitally we'll be ready then. Yeah.
Well, cool, man.
I cannot wait.
Man, no, I'm excited too, man. I'm excited for you guys. Definitely keep me in the loop, man, if you guys want to come back on, you know, sometime in the summer and, you know, to feature some more cuts off the album. We'd definitely love to have you. I gotta tell you, man, if people are interested in what you're doing, which I believe they're going to be, how can they find out more information about the Gravel Tones and what you guys are going to be doing?
If you go to www.thegraveltones.com, that's going to take you to our website. Then if you wanted to check out our pledge, it's just the same thing, www.thegraveltones.com/support. And that'll take you straight to... everything you need to know about,
you know,
Pledge.
And those, and we're pretty active on Facebook and Twitter,
yeah, we'll say
and
hi.
Things like that. So,
you say,
you know,
hi, we'll say hi.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right on, right on. Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, the album coming out potentially, you know, this summer. Do you guys have future touring plans? Obviously, more tours, more live shows, I would assume as well.
Got some festivals, which you can't talk about until soon.
Yeah.
But you'll hear about it. we're really excited, actually.
I don't know if we could, actually.
No, we're not allowed to say. We're just it's on the list of things we can't say.
We've got a London show coming up.
Oh, yeah.
To our album release, obviously, and I think we're going to do that around the end of July at some point.
Yeah,
and then we've got some festivals, and then once the album's done and the fog's clear, I think we're going to tour the album.
Get to America.
Yeah, get through through Europe and UK and then
America.
And then America.
I really want to get.
We
really can't wait to get over there.
And we're back in Australia for a stint too at the end of this year. So maybe a few festivals over there and a mini tour to back it up. So yeah.
Hmm.
Very cool, man. Well, I think you guys come to the States, I think people are going to eat it up, man. Like I said, the music that I've heard from you guys is infectious, man, and people are going to want more of it. It's good stuff. Now, I got to ask, man, what are your guys' hobbies? You know, obviously you work in full-time jobs, recording, writing music, you know, playing shows. I mean, you know, what do you guys kind of do to, you know, take a break, you know, to have times for yourself? Do you guys have any hobbies, personal interests you care to share, man?
Well, I like coffee. I really like
knitting. No.
Big fan of it. I like it. I like it as a bean. I like it as a drink. I want to eat it. I want to rub it on me. No. I work in the coffee. Is something that's been dear to me. It's never been like a thing for me until I moved to London, where I kind of pursued it. I'm now working in the roasting side of the business. It's been quite interesting. It kind of keeps me busy because I like to drink it, so you need to roast it to drink it. So that's one thing I'm really into. If not that, I like riding my bike around the city. That's always good. I got Jimmy into riding a bike too now.
Yeah, I just bought a bike actually.
You can't live in London without a bicycle, man.
I'm loving it, man. I'm hooning between cars.
Look at you. Yeah. You be careful.
I'm getting.
You be careful.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. Jimmy's mother channels me sometimes. She just comes through and just, you look after your voice, young man. Yeah. Happens.
Well, very cool, man. You guys are busy guys, and I tell you what, man, we got one more song we're gonna play tonight, which is also another debut, which is again another great track, Catch Me on the Fly. Talk to me about this track and, you know, again, kind of the writing process lyrically and musically behind it, man.
This was a track that I was just at home one day and just writing and took some time off work just to write some songs, and I was just fooling around with a riff, and I actually was just trying to write that solo piece, and I was coming up with a few different, because it was supposed to be country originally and very country based, and then it just sort of became more bluesy and more rock and roll, and it just sort of evolved into what it is. And then we went into the rehearsal room, and it was kind of there.
Added the breakdown in the middle.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the breakdown in the middle, we were like kind of wanted to capture like a gospel vibe, but like a Raising the Voodoo sort of gospel vibe.
Yeah,
it was like a crossover sort of, you know, a build up. Ultimately, we wanted to have, you know, a choir singing that middle bit, but I'm kind of glad we didn't. Yeah. Kind of would have been weird.
We got a film clip for this one that's going to be a really talented director, Chris Turner. He is a London director, and he's done this film clip for us, and we're really happy with it and stoked for it to be released. And I think it's gonna be on TV over here on a channel called Scuzz TV. It's like a Sky channel, and then we're going to release it ourselves. So I'm not sure when that's coming out, but if you're interested in the song,
to see our ugly mugs,
check it out.
Well, wonderful. Well, hey, Jimmy, Mike, it's been a pleasure, and best of luck to you guys.
Yeah,
and you know, thanks for stopping in, and we'll close out tonight with "Catch Me on the Fly," the Gravel Tones here on Revelator.
Oh, don't you like the way my baby moves? Oh, she wore out that new pair of shoes. Gentlemen, this gentleman lies. baby, swing that line. Oh, don't you like the way her skirt it sways? I'm telling people all over the place. I'm not a gentleman, this gentleman lies. Put on your heart and say bye-bye. Now catch me on the fly, baby, swing that line. Swing that line, catch me on the fly, baby, swing that line. Catch me on the fly, baby, swing that line. Catch me on the fly, baby, swing that line.
Gravel Tones here on Revelator, Catch Me on the Fly. Great track by those guys. And again, thanks to Jimmy and Mikey for stopping in. And really good stuff from those guys. Looking forward to that new album. That just a small little sample of what's coming to you. With the new Gravel Tones CD. For more information about the Gravel Tones, please head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv to learn more about the Gravel Tones. Click on episode number 9. And again, thanks to those guys. Next week, big show. We have Thomas Flower from Oleander stopping in. And we've got, I'm telling you right now, May is going to be huge for us. We've got a lot of great guests. So definitely keep it locked right here on Revelator. Catch me on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Mike, wonderful job as always. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 9, Dark Roasted Gravel Tones. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.